How are we doing, Jamie? Do we get that PowerPoint? Thank you, Lord. So we're going to do our very best here to try and walk through a few things and just have a kind of a family talk. And that of just what God is doing. There's a lot of times, you know, Pastor Nathan and I and Kim and Casey, who comes to volunteer in the office, and Marty, who works here, we get to see so many amazing things of what God is doing. As we see victories, as people come in, we're praying for, or we get to go out to places and minister. And sometimes as a body, we don't always get to grab a hold of those things. Or sometimes you'll hear little snippets of vision or direction. And we just thought maybe we'd just sit down and have a little bit of a chat and just share a little bit about the heart of Rockcliffe, who we are, where we're going, and we're just so excited for what God has. If you have your Bibles with me, if you'll just take a moment, and you'll turn into Psalms chapter 34. If you have your phone, if you don't have a Bible, you can pull up on your phone on the Bible app, and you can pull it that way. But we want to read some of God's scripture today. This is a scripture that is really big on my heart, but it's really big on Rockcliffe's heart. This is a scripture that has been at one of the very foundational scriptures of Rockcliffe and who we are, is, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen? I just want to take a moment here, and I want to read just a portion of that scripture, if you'll let me. Beginning at verse 1, I just really feel chapter 34 is something you should embrace as a believer in Christ. Now more than ever. So let's just read together. It says, "I exalt the Lord at all times." That's what we were just doing. Amen? "My praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." Listen to me. There was a portion in Psalms where David turned around. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? What's going on? Get up. Come on. Praise God." He talked to himself. He motivated himself. And you know what? Sometimes you and I need to do the same. Because we can feel, Pastor Nathan loves all the time. But for me, sometimes I really don't want to be at church. I'm tired, or I just don't want to do another thing, or I just don't want another weight on me. And sometimes I can easily get distracted, and I have to tell myself, "Well, wait a second here. Phil, get up. Get out of that stinking thinking. Move out of that place." And I'll tell you, the times that I feel that struggle, it's the times I sense God more than I ever did. It was just the enemy trying to block me. Let's keep reading. "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." We just believe we're better together here. "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those that look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man or woman called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles." You know what? No matter what your trouble, big or small, God is able to save you out of it. If you'll turn to him. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. His banqueting table is full." You lack nothing in Christ. Nothing. Ask him. Ask him. "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves me and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies." Pastor Nathan's going to talk a little bit about that later. "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry." Have you ever felt like God's so far off? And you're like, "Why aren't you listening? What's going on?" That's not what Scripture says. He's right there. He's hearing everything. Right? Trust him. He knows. The hard part is us waiting on him. Isn't that hard? It's not easy, but he says, "Trust me. I'm there. I hear everything. I hear every cry. And I'll deliver you if you'll trust me." "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. But the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them, say that word with me, all. Oh, come on. Oh, we're going to have troubles, are we not? Has anyone here had everything work perfect for him all life and everything easy? Ah, God never promised that. If you were sold that gospel, it's wrong. He says you'll go through trials of many kinds, but I'll be there every step of the way. I'll never leave you. And I will, he says, I will deliver you from all of your troubles. The Lord is close to the broken heart, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, and foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servant. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Ah, I pray, you know, it's not taking refuge in this four square building. It's kind of a diamond shape, but in the sanctuary. But it's not taking refuge in a building. Running into the church isn't going to save you. Just like those old horror movies that used to show, and all of a sudden there'd just be this priest or pastor, and he'd pull this cross against this bad demon or this, you know, vampire or something, and all of a sudden hoping that he would run away. That's like the seven sons of Sceva. In the Bible, they talk about where all of a sudden they come up and they come across this demon-possessed guy and say, hey, you know what? In the name of Peter and, you know, and these ones and what they did, we want to do too. And so we say, go. And the demon says, who the heck are you? We know them. We know Jesus. But we don't know you. And all of a sudden, they get beat up and they run away for their life. Are you taking refuge in him? Or are you taking refuge in the idea of something new or something different or something good or comfortable or helpful? Right? It's not all of the programs. It's not all of the if I do this and I do this and I do this, it's going to make everything. No, are you taking refuge in him? He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can take care of you. He will fulfill you. Not like Jerry Maguire. You complete me. That doesn't work. That's unfair. Only Jesus can complete you. Everything you need is not found in your spouse, your kids, or your job, or something else that we pursue in this world all the time. But it's found in Jesus Christ alone. That's where we find it. Amen? Amen. Amen. In your bulletin, you would have found a little letter. In your bulletin, this is a letter that we gave out during our annual business meeting, and just kind of a little letter from Christina and I, just sharing our hearts and how excited we are to be here. But in that part is, I just want to bring emphasis for a moment here on the very bottom of the first page. And you'll see these boxes up here and new beginnings, and, you know, people ask, oh, what is this and what is that? And, you know, we've shared it a couple times, but we thought we'd come back to that idea again. Is that we really believe that God has put in a heart, I share with Pastor Nathan, he really felt that God confirmed it in his heart that God wants to declare new beginnings over Rockcliffe. Now, not new beginnings in the sense, and you can read in there, you know, it's different than, you know, what we would think in the sense of the idea of a fresh start. Every one of us, in Jesus' name, every day you wake up, you get a brand new fresh start. The old is gone and the new has. Thank you, Jesus, for his mercy and grace. Amen. You blew it yesterday. And that, you know, then you wake up today and you say, God, don't just, you know, God, I'm sorry, and then just do it again. But God, forgive me. Help me to remove that stumbling block. Help me to remove that thing. And sometimes, tangibly, we have to remove ourselves, maybe from some friends for a time, maybe from our computer for a time, maybe from the TV or something else that's just captivating us so much, so that we can get focused again. Like in Psalms where he says, put the blinders like on a horse so you can't even see left and right, because our hearts sometimes can deceive us. We want to do what's right, Paul says, but we don't end up doing it. And that's where he's reminding us, it's not just that new beginning. And that even though that's important, And that, but it's a calling for a new beginning of things that have been sown in your past seasons. In other words, the cry of your heart. You've cried out to the Lord. God's promised you things. Listen to me. God's promises, they will be fulfilled. His word is true. If he said it, and it was him, it will come to pass. You just got to hang on to that. And I really feel that he put in our heart that he wants to bring those things back to life again. All those seeds that were sown over the past decade or the past years of your life, he wants them to spring forth. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Galatians 6:9. And I really feel God is saying this season is now. You're going to reap a harvest. The answers that you've been praying, some of the desires of your heart that just seems like they're like a carrot in front of the donkey and you just can't reach it and can't reach it, he's drawing it close that now you can walk into that season. The number 8 or the symbol of infinity represents infinity or everything good. In other words, 8 represents complete and unending abundance without any lack. And this is what God put in my heart. We must start to believe that we don't lack anything in Christ. No matter what we need, no matter what we are looking for, no matter what needs to happen in our life, we lack nothing in him. The problem when we come with this idea that we lack is because we're taking our eyes off of Jesus and we're looking to other people. Well, they got a new car. Why can't I get a new car? Well, your car's probably okay. You don't need one right now, maybe. So rejoice. And this is what he's put in my heart on this, is that we need to learn to celebrate each other. We nitpick each other. We pull each other down. We don't like it when someone else gets ahead. But God says it's different in his kingdom. We need to learn to celebrate when someone moves ahead. We need to learn to celebrate when things go good in someone's life. Right? It's always a good time to have a party. Like, just come up with reasons to have a party. You know, hey, a new neighbor walked in the neighborhood. Let's have a party. You know, hey, someone at work, they just got a promotion. Let's have a party. Hey, someone said something nice today. I haven't heard anything nice today. Let's have a party. Let's look for ways to celebrate. We lack nothing in Christ, nothing in his kingdom. That's what new beginnings, and that's some of the word that God's speaking over the theme and heart of who we are as a church. We've been doing a Bible study, and in our Bible study, it's called Good or God. We're done our week 2, we're into week 3. If you've missed week 1 and 2 and you still want to join in, come on aboard. And that it's a 6-week study, so we have 4 weeks left. And what an amazing study. It's coming from a book called John Bevere. I just want to read a little excerpt from it, and that just a little bit here. It says, in 1 John 2:3 and 4, it says this. It says, when we obey God, we are sure that we know him. But if we claim to know him and don't obey him, we are lying and the truth isn't in our hearts. See, this is also James' implication when he writes in James chapter 2, 18, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith and my actions. And these statements are so perfectly lined up with the way that Jesus begins the entire discourse in Matthew 7:20 when he says, you can identify people by their actions. The actions Jesus speaks of are not Christian service, speaking the message, or attending church. For those, we are turned away from heaven, even with those qualities, people will be turned away. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you gain access to heaven. It's no different than going to an airplane hangar and saying, well, now I'm an airplane, right? It just doesn't work that way. Tim Keller, he addresses these words of Jesus and he says this. Now, this is saying something very incisive. These people have an intellectually stimulated faith. They have an emotionally gratifying faith. And they have a socially redemptive faith. We all want that, don't we? We will be intelligently stimulated. We want to be emotionally involved. We want to be socially useful. It's possible to want intellectual stimulation, want emotional gratification, want social usefulness, and not want God. We can get caught up in the moment, in other words. Because if you really have God in your life, you have to give up your own will. And that shows us the difference between someone who is actually trying to use God and someone that's trying to serve God. You see, to use God is to seek Him for what you can get from Him, even if it is only to make it to heaven. But to serve God is to be motivated entirely by your love for Him. And if we love Him, we will keep His words. Oh, what a challenge. Man, I've had to reread. I've had to rethink and pause for a moment because it's just been so rich with a challenge to our hearts. So I encourage you, good or God, our Bible study has taken place. If you want to embrace it and grab a hold of that, that would be awesome. Pastor Nathan's going to now take the website, and he's going to just take a few seconds to navigate a couple things. You know, whether you visit us in person or you visit onto our website, and we have many people that go to the website, they can't make it to the church. Our prayer here at RPC is that you will taste and see that the Lord is good. That's as simple as it is. And that you will grow in the Lord. That you will grow. Pastor Nathan?
Yeah, we have the front page here. So it's rockliffe.org. And I'm just going to scroll down here. And so we have our upcoming events listed. And so today we have a newcomer's lunch. So come on out to that. If you're new to the church within the past year, and I'm just going to go to the events tab here just for a second, just to show you a bit how the site works. As well, we have a bake sale, a youth bake sale fundraiser next week for Overflow. And so we raised over $400 for the youth trip last bake sale, and so that was incredible. Thank you so much for participating in that. So we're going to do one more bake sale just to lower that cost even more for our youth, just to make it possible. And so again, there's a sign-up sheet at the back desk. You can sign up there as well. And so we have a sermons tab over here, and all the sermons, recent sermons are listed here. It goes back pretty far, I think all the way to 2016 or 2017. And so last week we have our missionary, the talk that he gave, Adrian Thomas. So if you missed it, you can listen there. And finally, there's a give tab here, which makes tithing a lot easier. So if you're away or whatever, then there's the option to give electronically here. And so that's pretty much it for here, unless you have anything more to add, Pastor Phil.
And that it's a great resource to reconnect people. Great resource to connect people to. Pastor Nathan also has the Facebook page, and that he'll just navigate a little bit. We have one for Rockliffe, and that is a church. And so some of the events, some changes, some things, we just encourage you, like it, grab a hold of the post and share it. Amen? And that maybe a lot of your friends aren't in the region. It doesn't matter. It's going to encourage them. And so we encourage you with that. Do you have that up?
Yeah, it's up right now. And that's it's easy to find because it's facebook.com/ Rockliffe Own Sound. And so that's the way you can find it right away. And then I don't know if you can see where my cursor is, but here's the like button here, and I've already liked it, so I can keep up with what's going on here at the church. So we have some events here that are listed. So yeah, it's just another way to keep us all in the loop as to what's happening, and just that extra reminder.
And there's a youth one?
There is a youth page too, which I think I can find here quick enough. Yeah, there we go, and that's the youth group page. And so if you're a parent or if you're a youth involved in the group, you can send a member request here. This is a closed group, so you'd have to request, but then I approve it, and then you're kept up to date on all the events, what's happening. This is especially useful if there's a quick change in events, like if there's a snowstorm or if something changes quickly, I can get that out to the parents and to the kids and let everyone know of any changes. So there you go.
Amen. Lots of opportunity to make connections. So we encourage you, make connections, grab a hold, send prayer requests through the webpage and make that part. Our vision here at Rockcliffe is we're a people committed to Jesus Christ. There's no bones about it. We are not afraid to share it. We're not afraid to declare it, that the Word of God here at Rockcliffe, we don't bend the Word to what we want. We bend our lives to it. And sometimes it's a ouch, and sometimes it's an amen, right? But we want our lives shaped by Him. We don't want to make God fit into us. So we're a people committed to Jesus Christ, to consistent Christian growth. This is a tough one, that little line right there. There's a lot of people, we get into a place that we feel like we've arrived. If you play the guitar, if you sing, if you play sports, if you're in a hobby, you hit that plateau that you kind of know enough and that you kind of do enough and then you settle there. Usually it's based on whether you know more than someone else or this or that or whatever, but we get plateaued in areas. But with Christ, you're never to plateau. If you stop growing in Christ, I'm going to have a different service for you the next day, and that will be a funeral service because you're going home. But He says from glory to glory, you're meant to grow. So don't get stuck. But consistent Christian growth is important to unity within the body, to loving, living, and declaring Christ in His Word through the power of Holy Spirit to our world. We got a mission. We got a mandate. Our mission here at Rockcliffe, and that is our goal with the Holy Spirit's help. Click one more time. Our goal with the Holy Spirit's help is to restore that which is broken. God says He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're about. We're not about pointing fingers. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time as pastor that, the Bible also tells me don't put a novice into leadership. Don't put someone that's caught up in the flesh, don't put them into the limelight, trying to lead in the Spirit, because the flesh and the Spirit, they war. So there's a time that, there's a direction and correction that will happen, but at our heart is we're just all about restoring. God's for you. If He's for you, why would I be against you? I'm just going to try and help you. I'm going to try and help lift you. We're going to try and draw that treasure out of you and that goodness of God, and that's our heart of here at Rockcliffe. To deliberately and purposely help individuals to relate to God and to relate to the body. Sometimes it's hard to relate to God because we've got so much baggage in our past. It's hard to see Him as a daddy. It's hard to see that connection. We want to help you with that. But then it's also hard to connect with each other sometimes. Why? Sometimes we don't like each other. We just don't. We don't like the fact that, you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan and I'm not. I don't like that. Or we don't like the fact that, someone might not wear a tie and one might wear a tie, and that could be a hang up. There's all sorts of reasons why we can be disconnected, but God's called us to be one, to lay down all those petty things and to come together one with Christ and allow Him to be glorified and lifted up. So not only to restore, but to relate and to release hope-filled people into their God-given purpose. We just believe everyone here has a purpose. Everyone has something. It's not a calling that's just for a pastor or a missionary or whatever. Yes, they are callings of God, set apart by Him, absolutely, but every one of us are called to the place you're in, to the family you're in, to the community you're in, to the church you're in. God calls us. He leads us, amen? And that's really our heart here, so that we can make a real difference in Owen Sound, we can make a real difference in the area around us and also around the world. How do we do that? How do we move in that place? Well, in your bulletin, you would have grabbed, you would see we're better together, core values. They're painted on the back wall. And that they're painted on the back wall because they're permanent. Amen? They're permanent. This is just what we believe as a church. This is what we believe. And that, as the Bible teaches us, that found people find people. Amen? That's not for the evangelist. That's not for the pastor. That's not for someone spiritual or this or that. No. Every one of us are called to reach. God's put you in the place you're in, put you in the sports team, He's put you into the workplace, in the school, whatever, so you can be an impact for Him. Found people, find people. Growing people, change. The only one that does not change is God. The Bible says Jesus is the Word, so the Bible does not change. But we're meant to change from glory to glory. Save people, serve. That's just our heartbeat, right? Our goal is not to get to heaven. That's a pretty shallow goal. Because reality is, if you love Jesus, there's nowhere else you're going to go. Amen? You're just going to end up there because there's no other place for you. Our goal is not that. Our goal is to be like Christ. Amen? And Jesus says, hey, I didn't come in the world to be served, but I came to... save people, serve. Because we're just following the pattern of Jesus. You can't outgive God. In the world that we live in today, everything runs around money. You see, there's nothing wrong with money, but the love of money that the world gets so caught up in so quick, so easy, is something that God says as a believer in Christ we should not be. We should be the most generous people there ever was and ever will be. You can't outgive God. We lack nothing in him. And lastly, you can't do life alone. We declare here all the time, we're better.
Together.
We're better.
Together.
Life is just too hard. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, pity on the one that falls down and has no one to pick them up. But as we come together as one, oh man, we can help each other all the time. There's nothing that we have to face that we would face alone because we find it in him. Amen? Pastor Nathan, why don't you take the next one here?
There we go.
No, not yet, Jeff. This one doesn't need to change. You don't need a video or on here, do you?
No, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
You can just leave there. Sorry.
Okay. You know, with when I was a teenager, I was reading Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and in his prayer. And I remember thinking, you know, I really want to listen to this prayer because Jesus is about to give his life for us. And this is going to be like really, this is really one of his last prayers that are recorded before he gives his life on the cross, before he rises again. And so I thought, you know, I better pay attention to this. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays for us believers. And his prayer is that we would be unified together. Just like the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are in perfect unison, he prayed that us believers would be unified as well. And the thing is, Christians have been shown to be quite resilient when it comes to outward persecution, and I'd say true Christians, but we're resilient when it comes to outward persecution. When Jesus was crucified, the church ended up exploding because he rose from the grave. He showed that the power of God is real. And then when the Roman government tried to destroy the church by killing the Christians, it ended up causing Christianity to spread like wildfire across the world as Christians began to fled. But as they fled, they told the gospel. We see in China, Christianity was made illegal, but all of a sudden the church exploded underground, and Christianity is huge there right now, and praise God, there seems to be something happening with North Korea, and there seems to be something lifting there, and the prayers of the saints are being heard. And, you know, Christianity has obviously been illegal there, and we haven't heard anything of the church in North Korea, but I'm willing to bet, and I'll declare it, that, you know, God has been doing things in North Korea that we have no idea about. And so when the law lifts from persecuting Christians in North Korea, I think we're going to see a pretty big church there as well. Anyway, I'm saying all that to say this. Christians are resilient when it comes to outward persecution. So Satan knows that probably the best way to destroy the church is not to destroy it from without, but to destroy it from within. And so he tries to sharpen the teeth of the sheep. And, you know, we are the sheep of the Lord's pasture. But what he'll try and do is cause us to take offense with each other, to just put those thoughts in our mind, like, oh, I can't believe he said that to me, or I can't believe she forgot about me, or whatever it is. And Satan will try to plant the seed of bitterness in our hearts. And so God he prayed that we'd be unified. God doesn't want us to be caught up in disunity. And actually, when he talks about disunity and causing dissension in the church, he says, you know, that's as bad as witchcraft. That's as bad as it gets. And because disunity is so damaging, not only to us as the family of God, but to our witness in the community. And so that is something that God is really wanting us to guard against. And so the scriptures deal quite plainly with how we are to deal with offense and when someone has sinned against us. And it's found in Matthew chapter 18. And, you know, first of all, when we feel that someone has offended us or when we feel that there's been something done wrong, the first thing we need to do is examine our own hearts. Because there are many times, in my own life and in all of our lives as Christians, because we're human, we can take offense and we don't really think about it, but we just become angry and we allow that to fester. But if we were to take that before the Lord and say, God, is this right? Is my heart right in this situation? Quite often God will do a work and show you that, you know, there's no offense to be had there. There's maybe a misunderstanding. There's maybe some knowledge that you hadn't learned yet, and God is opening your eyes, and he's helping us to learn from each other. So as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And God will use the saints to help draw us up and call us out. And so sometimes there's no offense to be had. There's just room to grow. But the scriptures also talk about when, you know, there is an offense, there's a sin that's been done against us, you know, that we are to approach the person and to point out the offense. And if they see it and if they ask for forgiveness, then you've won them back. And praise God, let's continue moving forward. Now, the thing is, because of our human nature, because of our flesh, it's much easier to be offended, it's much easier to mumble and grumble to someone else than it is to actually confront the person in love and to say, you know, this really hurt me, what's going on, or whatever, or, you know, have a conversation about it. And so, but the Holy Spirit is telling us we need to go to the source and to resist human nature and just confiding in others, you know, quote confiding or quite quote venting or prayer venting, where we try and turn it into a prayer or whatever and as a way of kind of spreading gossip. But God says, go to the source and work it out together. And, you know, there's the other end of the spectrum where people may shy away from confrontation, but then there's people who they have no problem with confrontation, and if they're offended, they'll tell you, and that's it, and you know, that just breeds more offense. And the difference is that the scriptures urge us to help each other, to sympathize with each other, to show grace for one another. And so if you're approaching our brother or sister with the intent in your heart to help, to see God's will done in the situation, that will save you from a lot of heartache and a lot of pain down the road. But if you go to a person just with the intention of just saying, well, I'm telling you did something wrong and this has offended me and whatever, then that doesn't actually serve any purpose other than just to do more damage. But, you know, it goes a long way when we can show grace towards each other. The Bible says that love covers over a multitude of sins. It's the cure-all. And so above all, we need to be loving with each other, even when there has been an offense against us, especially when there's been an offense against us. And finally, if the scriptures say that if we approach someone and we just haven't worked out a resolution, to bring another person to be there to try and work it out. And if it still doesn't work out, then bring it to the church leadership, and you know, they'll prayerfully go over it, with the intention of bringing proper reconciliation, proper truth and healing. And so there's the biblical model that's very clear for us to follow. And if we follow this in all situations, our church is going to continue to grow and thrive because we are walking in the prayer that Jesus prayed for us 2,000 years ago in the Garden of Gethsemane, that we would be united. And finally, the scriptures say that God is pleased with those who are mindful of his will, especially when we've been wronged. And so the best thing we can do is when we're struggling with an offense is to go, Jesus, what do you want to do in this situation? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? And he will help you, and that will bring healing to the church and will actually move us forward as we stick so close to the heart of God.
Amen. If you have your Bibles with me, we're going to open up just another truth thought If you want to flip the thing to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Just a true thought that God put in my heart, just to deposit a little nugget here. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. If your Bible or your phone, you want to flip to it, here's what it declares. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. If I use another scripture, it says, God created you to succeed and not fail. There is no failures in God's kingdom. Amen? Listen to me. Let me pause for a moment here. Satan thought Jesus failed when he breathed his last breath on the cross. He thought he had won. It's a defeat. I finally defeated him. Great. Right? Because he's oblivious to God's plans. And he thought it was a big defeat. But listen, God's trying to tell us all the time, I'll turn everything around for good. You will never be defeated. You will triumph because you're coming in Christ, and Christ is the victor. And he says, if I overcame the world, you will overcome it too. Let me come back into scripture. And through us, that's you and me, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved, those who are perishing. Verse 16, to the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life, and who is equal to such a task? You are the fragrance of God. I remember as a kid or kind of preteen watching TV, and there'd be this commercial and this lady with her hair flowing. We'd be walking down the street, and all of a sudden this guy would catch a whiff. I think it was Impulse or something. So really stinky. It's stinky stuff, but they made it out as something smelling nice, and she would walk by and the fragrance would be behind her, and he'd be so caught up with the fragrance, he'd trip over himself and get flowers to chase her down. Well, reality is, you're the fragrance of Christ. And when you walk into your workplace, people should trip over themselves to find out what's going on in your life. What's so amazing about that? I don't know, but something feels different. Tell me what it is. Why are you so happy? What is going on? You're the fragrance, the aroma of God to all those around you. And I encourage you, grab a hold of that word and be that in your workplace, in your home, or wherever you might be. Let me pause for a disclaimer. If anyone wears Impulse, I'm really sorry. Forgive me. I'm sure they've made it smell a lot better now. I just needed to add that in there. Before, I got to put my foot in my mouth a lot here. This is something, next thing, if you want to flip the next one, something God's put in my heart. I feel torn all the time. I just so desperately want people to connect with God that at the end of the service, I hang around the front here just to pray for people and that, but I feel torn because I want to go to the door. I want to shake everyone's hand. I want to get to know you more and more, and it's nothing in my heart that I'm not there, because my heart is there, but I just really feel that if we connect with God, everything changes. And that's why I take time at the front, and I just make myself available for anyone that would love prayer or connection. And so in that part is, I took time and I started to write down on some pamphlets. You can find just outside this door here to the right, near the debit machine, and you'll find some pamphlets. In there is why our worship is engaging and exciting. I get asked that a lot as a pastor. You know, why do you clap your hands? Why are you guys a little bit more exciting than, you know, what I'm used to? Well, at the end of the day, I told you, we bend our lives to the scripture. And it's not always comfortable, but we do it because that's what scripture tells us. So you'll find just scripture after scripture. That's all it is, just the Bible in here to help answer that question, or a question maybe a friend or someone that you're sitting next to saying, hey, why is this? Well, there you go. You can grab an answer. Eight names, comprehending the eight names of God found in the Old Testament. And that, you know, just coming into a place of grabbing a hold of, there's a whole lot more to God than we realize. And Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. He's our righteousness. He's our healer. And grabbing a hold of some of those words and understanding what you have in Christ. There's one on tithing. Ouch, amen. And that one on tithing, what is it? Why does God ask us to do it? It's not Phil asking for anything. It's the Word of God that challenges us. Scripture on healing. I get challenged a lot. Why do you pray for healing? That's just was the kickstart of the church. God doesn't heal today. Let me just pause to answer that question in a best way. How many people here today have been healed by God? Okay. Well, I think he's still alive and he's still doing something, right? So in here, there's an answer on healing and what it's all about. Scriptures you can pray, things you can embrace. Water baptism. I've heard a lot of teaching on water baptism. A lot of fights and squabbles and lots of stuff about christening or this or that or whether it's in Jesus' name only or it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's lots of confusion and stuff. Well, reality is we took time and brought from Scripture and we're answering the question. We're starting to do more of these things just to make it easier so you as a people, when you're reaching your friend and they've got questions, you can answer them. The latest one we've just done and just put out is called If You're Thinking About Leaving a Church. It's answering a question that never gets talked about. But you know, the Bible talks about this stuff. And so in that part is we broke it down in here and broke it down. If you're having troubles in church, what do you do? How do you handle it? How do you walk through that biblically? Then if you have to leave, if God says, you know, puts in your heart and you just really feel for whatever reason and it helps break things down, then do it right. Amen? Listen to me. Let me pause for a moment. Hear my heart. If Rockcliffe was the only church afloat, the only way that you would get to heaven is if you came to Rockcliffe. I'm telling you right now, I would sell my house, my cars, I would buy a tank, and I would force everyone to come. I'd say, huff and a puff, and I'll blow your house down if you don't get to church now. But Rockcliffe's not the only boat afloat. There's many great churches here in Owen Sound. You know, and since I've been here, we've had in that 60 to 70 people come through Rockcliffe saying, you know, hey, I'm just checking it out. I'm just kind of finding a church. I'm just trying to see what God has, or I'm not really happy with my church now, and I'm looking for something different. Well, in that part is we just thought we would help by giving a biblical answer on how to walk through that, how to move through that, and that so that we can navigate well, because at the end of the day is this. We are all children of God. Doesn't matter what denomination or last name it is. There's no corner in heaven for the Pentecostals, corner in heaven for the Baptists, corner in heaven for the Anglicans and this and that, that we can stay to our kind. There is no kind in Christ. There's just one. And that's a believer in Christ that's a Christian. Amen? So I just bring a little bit to that because I really feel that it's a question that keeps coming up a lot and people ask questions and move through there. And so I just wanted to bring it. Pastor Nathan's going to bring us back to Right Now Media for a second and just give us a great resource and just a couple words on that. We're just about done for those that are wondering.
Okay, this is the this is the Right Now Media website and the great thing is, I mean, we do have a small library out in the lobby, and there's some great material there, but we have access to an electronic library with over 10,000 resources. And so it has expanded our library immeasurably. And there's a lot of great resources on here. This is the main website, and I'm just going to scroll through a little bit here. And there's... I don't know if you can see my cursor on the side, but there are different categories you can go into. There's a category for men, marriage, youth, parenting, category for pastors, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of great things here, and I really enjoy using it. And you know, there's even stuff that for the younger kids, the toddlers, you can put something on for them. I think there's VeggieTales on here. There's some other kids' shows that are Bible-based. They're learning. They're having fun at the same time. And so if you're interested in accessing this, this has been made available to all of our, anyone here at Rockcliffe. And so if you'd like to get an account here, it's free. It's provided by the church. And you can just call into the office and we'll get you set up for that.
Amen. Amen. The next thing is on missions. Here at Rockcliffe, we are reigniting missions again in a greater way. We have a missions trip that's coming out of Rockcliffe down to Mexico. There's a pamphlet that's out on the kiosk that you can grab a hold of. Information meeting is going to be May 20th to answer questions. We're going to do a wild road trip down to Mexico and cross over and do a VBS. That's a kids' sports camp, basically, is what it's going to be. From I think it's Lifeway puts out the sports camp called Life Point. And we're going to be hosting that, helping the church down there, partnering, reaching out at their community as we just love on them. So this is one of the first of many things. We had Adrian Thomas in from the Dominican Republic, and we might look to do a build project where we use our hands and people that have a gift with using their hands to do some work that will be coming up in the future. So just in that part, I just really encourage you to open your heart, not just abroad, but stirring in your heart that God's saying, reach the people next to you. Adrian brought a beautiful challenge to us that, you know, here in Owen Sound, we have a whole lot of refugees and a lot of people that are coming into the community from all sorts of cultures. And the number one thing that the refugees, when they're talked to and walked through, a lot of them will say is that we've never once been invited into a Canadian's home to have a meal. And in that part is let's break that. Let's break that cycle. Let's look for ways to invite our neighbors. Look for ways to invite different ones. And that I love culture, so I love inviting different people in my home. Why? Because they cook sometimes better than me. And they got some great ideas on different ideas of things, and I learn all sorts of stuff. And so from that side, I just encourage you, you can't outgive God. And when you open your heart towards him, you'll see God will do even more in and through you. And so I just encourage you with a little challenge there. The next slide. Fusion Family Fun Night. I've been asked since I came here, you know, hey, when are we going to do a family night midweek program? And I'll be honest with you, and that I feel like I've been in the blocks as a horse. You know, when they've got the metal blocks and the gates are there and you're just waiting and it's bouncing around. And I feel like God has put me into there and that saying, hey, no, there's some things you need to get in place here at Rockcliffe. We got to get our feet back underneath us. We got to get some things back in order so that when we do start running, we're ready. And I just want to say an echo to you. God's put it on the heart this past month and said, now's the time. So we're getting ready for the fall. Family Fusion or Fusion Family Fun Night will look totally different. As a leadership, we're going to be hashing it out and working things so you'll hear more about it. But it's going to come into the fall and that we're going to create a moment where there's going to be a meal. And following the meal, there's going to be at least 10 different things that families can be a part of, from the youngest to the oldest. It's going to look really different and that, but I really feel it's going to give us a great opportunity to reach to our neighbor. It's going to give us a great opportunity to bond together as a church more, and that as we have a meal and we do things together. So I really encourage you to be prayerful about this coming in the fall. As a leaders, we gather just to prepare and prep and shape and mold. And I also say this, get ready, because we might be calling on you for some help. Amen? Because we're better. Yeah. Next slide. Prayer Summit. We're going to make a change coming this fall. Again, just was waiting for the time God has now put it in the heart. Our Sunday night prayer, if you're not out, I'm seriously saying this with all gentleness inside, you're really missing a special time with God. How many people have come out on a Sunday night? And that just for a second, this is not to say anything, but how many people of those that have come out on a Sunday night have walked away feeling blessed? Have heard from God? Right? God wants us to taste and see that he's good. And the more we're together, the more we're going to see that happen. And Sunday nights, we see a lot of the gifts flowing. And that from words of wisdom, knowledge, healing, and that prophecy, all sorts of stuff that gets flowing on Sunday night because we're giving time for that. So coming this fall, we're going to shift our Sunday nights a little bit. Tony, you've been doing an incredible job, and we've been working together. And so I'm super excited for what God's going to do this fall, where one of our Sunday nights is going to be just a total worship time, just coming, soaking in God, waiting on Him, and just letting Him love on us and love on Him. One of our Sunday nights is going to be this prayer summit, where we're going to have a couple songs maybe, but we're going to pray for the physical, the real needs of Canada. We're going to pray over the real needs of the persecuted church. We're going to pray over the needs of Rockcliffe. We're going to pray over the needs of Owen Sound. We're going to bring them to you, social concerns, other things we're going to bring to you so we can lock together, because the prayers of a righteous man or woman are powerful and effective to pull down strongholds. Sometimes we have what we have because we don't pray. Amen? And that, so then if there's a fifth Sunday of the month, on the fifth Sunday of the month, we're going to go either prayer walk, or we're going to go into our cars and prayer drive, and we're going to get around our community, and we're just going to soak our community with the power and love of God. I don't know about you, it's not meant to be kept in four walls. Amen? So I just encourage you, as we get ready and we get ready to move as a church and grow and open ourselves, and that get your hearts ready and that to receive from Him. Get your hearts ready to partner together for what the Lord has for us, because He's got some good things in store. Amen? Amen. And lastly, I just simply want to say, I love my church. I could not be more happy and excited to be a part of Rockcliffe. And that, you know, when I first came, I shared with you, you know, I had that struggle to leave New Life Assembly. 10 years of my life poured into Sioux Lookout and into New Life Assembly. I mean, hearts were there and linking. We saw some amazing things. God wide open the doors to our community, to our mayor, to schools, to everything. They were just open doors for us everywhere. And then when God put on my heart to leave, my wife will say, man, that was really hard for you, Phil. I said, yeah, I really needed to know God told me, because I didn't want to go. But then when He whispered in my ear, and He said, hey, Phil, this is where I want you to be, is to come to Rockcliffe, to come to Owen Sound. And I heard His still small voice. It made all the difference. And then He whispered in my heart, and He says, Phil, you have not seen anything yet. I'm about to pour my spirit out in a way that you have never witnessed before, and I want you to know I have witnessed a lot of things. So I am so excited to be a part of Rockcliffe, to be a part of Rockcliffe at this season, at this time. I'm so glad that God's got you here at Rockcliffe, that we can work together, partner together to see what He has. And so we just want to take some time in this family talk and just share a little bit about the heart of who we are and where we're going and why we do some of the things we do. And just to let you know, we love our church. We do. And I hope you have opened your heart to love it too and to move. Does that mean everything's the way we like it? No, not necessarily. And that, but we're growing. We're not there yet, but we're moving. Amen? And so I really encourage you to grab a hold of what the Lord is doing, not what He's not. It's easy to grab what He's not, but grab what He is. And that's where you'll find true life. That's where you'll find God, because that's where He is. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, God. You are so good. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you are doing. We thank you, God, for revealing yourself and speaking to us this morning, and that through the worship, through communion, through prayer time, through the sharing of your word and this family time. God, Lord, you are speaking all the time. And so we just open our hearts to you. God, help us to be that fragrance, that aroma into our community, in our family, in our marriage, Lord. Help us to be that fragrance and that aroma of you. God, I just thank you for each and everyone here. I thank you for the excitement of some of the things that you are putting in our hearts that are coming this fall and that is coming this summer. And so, Lord, we just want to give you praise. We want to give you glory, for you truly are building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So thank you, God. That's not just a building. That's not just programs. You're building our hearts. You're building our lives, and nothing the enemy does can overtake that. Thank you for that, Lord. So I pray for courage for the one that needs courage today. I pray, Lord, that your face would cause to shine upon, Lord. God, that we would radiant, we would glow because we've met with you this morning. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the one that's struggling with all the things of their life just flooding in front of them. You just whisper in the air, hey, I'm not done with you yet. Be patient. Just relax a little. Just join in with me in the rhythm of my grace, and I will lead you through everything you go through. God bless each and everyone. Overtake, overshadow them in all that we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.